Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Romy Kanani. Romy is originally from Iraq, where she was born and raised in Baghdad, and she's lived in different places in the world. Now lives in the United States, here in Northern California, and we're going to be talking about the situation that's happening now. Right now, it's March 18th, and we expect for the United States, unless something wonderful happens, for even more bombs to be dropping very soon. It's a very serious situation, and I was anxious to get the voice of an Iraqi person, and I'm really, and especially a woman, so I'm really happy that I can speak to Romy today. So I'm going to welcome you. You would like to talk, let people know some things about Iraq that most people don't know much about it, and of course a lot of the things they know or they think they know are probably, possibly not even really true. So what would you like to share?
To start off with, I'm glad to be here, and I would like to start by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-Rajim, in the name of the Father and the Son. And yes, I see a lot of the news, and I'm really, really disappointed with the way the news is being told, which a lot of it is not the whole truth, one-sided, and I have come to the realization that more people need to speak up, so that's why I'm here to speak about it.
Things actually in the United States these days are the government is rounding up people and has further plans to round many of us up. Hopefully we're going to be able to fight that, and it's not going to happen. But we have the Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2 may be coming up. And to speak out takes a lot of courage these days for all of us.
Yes, indeed it does. And I would like to be part of it. Growing up in Iraq, I had the privilege of being able to go to school and get an education as a young child. My family were fairly well educated. I was 10 years old when I left Iraq to come to this wonderful country. And I love both countries very, very much. Iraq being my hometown and America being my second home, or now I've been here more than anywhere else in the world, right here in California. In 1959, there was a revolution, and the king, while I was growing, there were a lot of poverty. Even though the country was a rich country, the British, the English imperialist, took advantage of the situation and really did not take care of the people. There were a lot of homeless people, there were a lot of poor people. People were kept illiterate, they were uneducated, and yet the rich were getting richer. A few of the people owned most of the land. I was brought up in a home where the women were educated too. As a matter of fact, my aunt was one of the first women educators in Baghdad, and she had taught first and became a supervisor of a girls' school. So I learned to read and write at an early age, and after the king got toppled, things were in chaos, and we had one coup after the other. And finally, Saddam was in power. In the meantime, I was doing children's theater in Iraq, and I came to this country at the age of 10 and went back and forth to Iraq to visit the family and live there and carry on. And I saw a lot of changes. Every time I would go, I would see other changes. Well, part of the thing that really has bothered me is the fact that they have portrayed Saddam as being an evil person. In my personal experience, I found him to be a reasonable man. When I went back to Iraq, I saw the progress that he had made. In 1972, the oil became nationalized, and there was big celebrations on the streets of Baghdad and everywhere in Iraq, because finally we were able to have our own oil for the people, and that was a happy time. And since then, things progressed, and Saddam has gotten the monies from the oil to benefit the people. He built the infrastructure. He eliminated poverty. Everybody was able to have a job. There was no homeless people anymore. There were no beggars on the street anymore. He opened up many schools, both for men and women, and universities. He built great hospitals, and we had factories for car parts and for pharmaceuticals, and women were able to work if they wanted to, and those who wanted to stay home and take care of their babies were able to, and women were able to work in public places as well as private places. So it is a progressive country. And we were living at peace. Iraq is a very old country. It stems back all the way to the beginning of civilization, from Adam and Eve's time. And there are people that stem all the way back from those eras. There are at least seven that I know of, seven different sects and groups that are still living there with their own culture, with their own language, with their own celebrations and rituals. And we lived in peace, and Saddam never, ever tried to change or control those people or their way of life. As a matter of fact, we embraced them. My best friend was a Jewish person who lived right across the street, and we had an open-door policy. I'd go to her house, she would come to my house. We celebrated with Christian friends, with Jewish friends, with Muslim friends, and we all loved God, the Creator, the God, the Creator. And that was good enough for us. And the cultures of these people, the Chaldeans, they still speak Chaldean there, and they have their celebrations and cultures. There are the Armenians, the Turks from the Ottoman Empire. There are the Assyrian, there are Sabi'iyin, and there is the Shiite, the Sunni. We were all lived together. There wasn't any difference. We didn't treat each other any differently, and we accepted each other as we are. And there are Aramaic people, a very old culture. The Aramaic language stem is the language that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke at the time, and Hebrew. And as you can see, it's a very vital country and very cultural. And I just don't want anything to happen to those people. And God forbid, should any bombing would happen, then we lose all those rich cultural heritages of all those people. And I am very, very sad for what's happening, and very, very angry, and it's a righteous anger. I am angry at the corporations, the American corporations, who have manufactured and sold the ammunitions and weapons to Iraq. I am really angry at the corporations who have manufactured chemical warfare and sold them to Iraq. I am really angry at Israel selling ammunition to Iran and having those two countries fight it out while America supplying the ammunition to them and Israel supplying the ammunition to Iran. And I lost a brother, and it makes me really unhappy and also very angry that these warmongers are getting rich and richer while the poor people are getting poorer and poorer. They don't care about human lives. Human life to them seems to be very cheap. And I cherish humanity and I cherish human life. Iraq is not built on genocide like this country. And I don't want to see another bloodshed, not one drop of bloodshed, whether it's an Iraqi person or an American person. I love them both.
Well, it's so interesting what you say, Romy, because, of course, the American media gives such a different impression, and I certainly am very aware of how things are distorted most of the time, either by omission or just lies. I mean, there's so many lies. And certainly the way that you're describing what was like after Saddam Hussein came into power, I think that maybe you want to talk about the media. You've been in the United States a long time, and it must be, I mean, I can barely stand to watch things. I just get too upset. I've never really watched TV, and now when I do for 2 minutes, I just want to scream. You must feel that way too.
Yes, I would say there are some things that really makes me unhappy when I see so many lies. For example, there was a person who apparently was a Shiite Muslim who claimed that Saddam doesn't allow them to pray. That is an absolute lie. The man was praying in a normal fashion. Well, I tell you what happened. When I was about 7 years old, I went to an Iraqi family in southern Iraq, and the people there, they were celebrating a festivity, and there was to be a parade, and my aunt, who brought me up, my mama, she took me to the balcony, and we were ready to see the parade. Well, unfortunately, what I saw was horrible. The parade was men and boys going down the street, flagellating themselves with swords so their skulls would be opened, their brains splattering on the ground, the blood all over the place, chains, they would hit themselves with chains and knives and such. And that was the Sunni tradition, it's a Shiite traditional religious festivity that they do in commemorating one of the martyrs that was buried in southern Iraq. And many Iranians would come to the streets of southern Iraq, the Shiite, and would do the flagellating and the bloody mess on the street. It was a horrible sight for a child. And it was something that I'll never, ever forget. And Saddam did not want the bloodshed on the streets of Iraq. And that is the main reason for the fighting between Iran and Iraq. And it's not to stop them from worshiping God. He just did not want to see any bloodshed on the streets. You know, because that's how the imperialists have been, divide and conquer. So they find a way to get into the people and make separation between humanity. And they separated them, and there you go. We'll sell you the ammunition. You go fight it out. So we can get there, so the corporate mongers can make more weapons to kill more people. This is wrong. This is not right. Where is the justice and peace in this? And so Saddam asked all the Iranians to leave the country. And so that's why there were these problems.
And what about more recently? You told me you were back in Iraq in 1990, and you were back and forth a lot before that. All this business about the dictatorship and how terrible it is for people, and of course we have the United States sanctions. That would make it terrible.
Yes, indeed. As I said, in 1972, when the oil was nationalized, the money was going to the people, which was wonderful. And the landlords, the few landlords who owned most of the land, started to be divided amongst the people. People were allowed and for the first time were capable of buying a piece of property and living in their own homes. And the country was prospering so beautifully. And of course, the West did not like this, that a small country with all its wealth should be prospering. Oh, God forbid. And so they tried to find ways to divide and conquer and make problems for them. Saddam, he had other Arabic people from other countries like Yemen and Egypt and different parts of the world who were not so rich to come to Iraq, to come to Baghdad and work. And the country was really prospering. It was so beautiful. He did so many good changes for the people, and the people loved him. He was all right, you know. Then in 1990, I went back to Iraq, and that was the last time I visited because of all these problems. I had about 3 weeks of sanity and peace after the big war with Iran and Iraq ended. Things were starting to get better again, just a little bit, trying to get back on their feet. And they were pretty much depending by then on the West for supplies. And before then, we were fairly self-sufficient. I mean, we did import big items like cars and electronics, electrical stuff. But we were self-sufficient, and the people were managing okay. And Kuwait was side-drilling oil into Iraq. And Saddam, over and over again, asked the Kuwaitis to stop doing that. And the Americans found an opportunity to go, and in the pretext of helping the Saudi and the Kuwaitis, well, they made a permanent stay out of it. And all of a sudden, Bush owns an oil well there in Kuwait, and he has no right to that oil well, naturally. The Arab people do not want the West in their homeland. It's just the people like King, so-called King of Saudi Arabia, kind of want them there so that they can be protected, because they're their puppet. Unfortunately, they think the American government, and British, they think they can go to any place and dominate them and just do whatever the heck they want to, rape and pillage and plunder. And the heck with the people. Well, that's wrong. That's evil. When the British came, they divided and conquered and put imaginary lines and put puppet dictators in all these Arab countries. They're no more kings in Saudi Arabia or in Kuwait or in Jordan, for example, than you and me. They were there put by the British to do their will. And Kuwait and Iraq was one country. And we had access to the Persian Gulf. And then British Empire came and divided those places. And so now Iraq was isolated. Okay. Kuwait was side-drilling oil from Iraq. Saddam asked the Kuwaitis to stop doing it. They did not. They kept on doing it. In the meantime, the Kuwaitis were using the money for immoral actions. Saddam has a very disciplined nation in that he does not want to see immorality in that nation, nor drugs. He had zero policy for drugs. And, of course, that doesn't make the United States and the drug dealers very happy, mm-hmm. nor the oil mongers. And so Saddam had asked the American government and told them that what he was intending to deal with Kuwait, and the American government had given him the okay, telling him that they would not interfere. But that was a lie, because as soon as Saddam went to defend his oil wells, America came and actually started the war.
I know that the people of Iraq have suffered enormously since the sanctions at the end of that war, and I wonder if how you think people are feeling about Saddam now, and what happened in that period between when you're talking about and now, from your point of view, Romy Kanani.
Yes, well, as I said, the people were really happy when the land was prospering. But then when the sanctions happened, then, of course, the people were not so happy. It's horrible. The sanction is an evil, evil thing to put upon a people. Anybody who has any heart would not do this to anybody. All of a sudden, here we are, one of the richest countries in the world in oil, and we were poor. Everybody had to stand in line for a piece of bread. Their children are dying of malnutrition right now. And there are thousands, if not millions, of people dying because of what America has put upon Iraq. That is a crime. That is an absolute crime. And Mr. Bush should be ashamed of himself. He and his warmongering people.
Do people blame that on Saddam Hussein a lot, blame the sanctions? And also, I mean, this business about being a dictator, do you think that there are people who feel that way, or do you think that's just American lies?
You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure there are people who know the truth and who know that Saddam was trying to do well for the country. And they know that the American and the imperialists are not the right thing for them. That the American imperialists are only interested in their oil, in the oil there. They could give a hoot about the people. And they have been doing this all over the world. In Guatemala, the poor people in Afghanistan, they've raped and pillaged them and bombed the heck out of them. I don't want anything to happen to my homeland. I don't want a bomb or a missile or anything to drop. You know, it's a shame. America should be ashamed of itself that they're spending so much money on ammunition and they don't have enough shelters and homes for people, working class people. They don't have enough teachers. They're laying off teachers left and right so they can build more ammunition so the warmongers, the evil warmongers, can make more money. It's wrong. It's unjust. And there should be a change. There's got to come around for a change. We have to bring this around for a change to the positive.
Yeah, it's really amazing that it's really a very small right now. On March 18th, it seems to be a very, very small number of men with power, just a handful really, that want this to happen to Iraq, really want to just kill the Iraqis that much. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible. I totally agree. We're running out of time here. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yes, I just want to say that nobody is perfect. Saddam isn't a perfect person, but I want you to remember that in 1950 was when, under Churchill, the British were the first people who put poison gas on the Kurds. The Kurds were given ammunition by the Americans to go and make a revolt, when Saddam did a lot of good for those Kurds. And, of course, he had to defend himself. And it's a very involved, and it's a very deep, intricate, how do I say it?
Complex.
A lot of complexity. I just pray for peace. Saddam had wanted to speak and dialogue with Mr. Bush Sr., with Clinton, and now with Bush Jr. He's resolved things, but apparently the American and British people, all they are interested is in the oil wells, and they want to kill my people. And by God's grace, that is not going to happen.
Really? Well, I try to end interviews on up notes, but it's kind of hard to do at this moment. So I'll join you in the prayers.
Peace to all.
Really. Well, thank you very, very much, Romy Kanani, for doing this interview. Romy is originally from Iraq and now living in Northern California. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening. To order a copy of the program you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Or the telephone is 510-883-1979.